bird's nest there. Thank you, Tim. Great, thank you.
Okay, so Tim, we've talked about purposes, why the Lord has created us, why we are here. So I can ask you, has the Lord given you a clear idea of his purpose for you in your ministry here in his earthly vineyard?
Do we have these questions on the screen too?
We do.
So people can see. Yeah, so as I understood that question, as we chatted, you're asking about kind of a sense of a general life calling that can help us clarify the smaller steps when you have the big picture. So, yeah, I guess over the years I've had so far, there have been moments when I've been able to stop and reflect and ask those big questions that you mentioned, and to look back at, I think, some of the choices I've made. And I think one thing that can help clarify an overall sense of calling is the question, what do you do for free? Or what do you do with your free time? So not because you have to, not because you're paid to, but what do you just have an inner motivation to do? Maybe a passion for it. And people often say, try to line that up with the needs that you see around you. And there is a sense of vocation. And for me, I've always loved opportunities to mentor and equip other people to help enable them to do ministry and to connect people to each other, acting as a bridge. So I've enjoyed opportunities for that within pastoral ministry as well as within other jobs I've had. And so I've tried to narrow it down to that. Even in sports terms, thinking of being a playmaker or a coach rather than, you know, being the goal scorer. So less of a front man than more of a enabler is how I try to describe it.
Okay, next question, Evan. So can you describe how you asked Jesus to help you through this pivotal moment in the lives of you and your family?
Yeah, over a year ago, folks from the National Office and Prairies were asking me about taking on a new role, and I told them I needed a lot of time. And I think I'm glad I said that because it's not an easy decision to make. And I think sometimes quick decisions can be made because they have to be. It's forced upon you. You know, you're fired or something like that, or you're broke, and circumstances force that. But with this, it really required a lot of reflection. And so the first thing was just to create some space where just the regular daily devotional time of prayer, reading the Word, having those conversations with Emily and with close friends and family over a long period of time, just creating space to listen to what God would have to say to me and letting all those little things add up to something big and clear. And also in creating that space, sometimes there would be big moments where something would surprise me in how God would speak.
Yeah, okay, next. So in what way did he answer your prayers? Were his answers the ones you expected?
No. I wasn't planning on a new step like this. But I think this is the exciting part here, number three, where it gets specific because, like I said, as I'm creating space in just my daily devotional life, I'm already reading books and going through the Bible and praying and having conversations. And sometimes through those moments, what God puts in your heart comes to light, you know? And it's hard to know that, but sometimes it can come out where the way you read a certain scripture can hit you in a certain way that it didn't the last time you read it. But because of where you're at in your life and what God's put in your heart and what he's calling you to do, you can hear something from it. So for me, when I was presented with this opportunity to serve in the Prairies, I was wondering, well, you know, what all these questions for us and God providing for us and our needs. And I happened to be reading through the Gospels where Jesus was sending his disciples on Passover to go find a place to meet and to go find a donkey for him to ride. And he said, just go and you'll find it. You know, you'll find everything you need if you just go and take my word for it. And for me, that was a real, strong message. And it's come true as I've gone and checked things out. Everything's there and provided for. So as God calls, he also provides. And then I had questions of, well, what about Parkdale? What about all the good things happening here that I get to help out with? And I've told the story elsewhere before, but my boys were reading through the Bible chapter by chapter, and they were in 1 Chronicles. And I remember I told them, oh, I remember, I tried to read through the whole Bible once, and after Kings, I felt like Chronicles was a bit repetitive, so I moved on somewhere else in the Bible, and I told them, you guys don't have to read Chronicles right now. Maybe you want to read something else that's, more interesting or something. But they persevered and they kept going. And so I said, okay, I'll read Chronicles with you guys. And in that book, there's a story of King David really wanting to build the temple of the Lord. And God saying to him, nope, that's going to be for the next guy to do. Now David had fought lots of battles for God and established the kingdom. He had blood on his hands. And I hope I don't have blood on my hands. But the answer there was very clear for me of that I finished my chapter and accomplished my task, and God has another person ready for that next chapter. And so there's been many moments like that where a specific scripture I just happened to be reading answers the question that I'm asking for that day.
Very good. Next question would be, how has this, working through this particular chapter in your life, how has it strengthened your relationship with Jesus?
Well, when certain comforts and things you rely on are taken away and removed, you know, whether that be through hardship in life or, you know, we've heard prayer requests for about sickness and travel. Those are examples that bring us out of our comfort zone. Also being called to take initiative and taking a step like this is like that too. So these moments of uncertainty, discomfort, not feeling in control, they force us to trust and to pray and to rely on God. And I guess I've lived long enough and gone through enough of these steps that I know this is how we grow. And this is how we learn. And through trials, our faith grows and we're able to help others through similar situations. So I know God uses it all, and he'll use it for everyone here too.
Very good. So how has, is there any particular scripture that has guided you through this process, this chapter in your life that you can talk about?
Yeah, I mentioned a couple. Just another example was, I was in the book of Kings and I read about Elijah, and Elijah at one moment felt like he was the only prophet of God left in Israel. And, he thought he was alone and he just wanted to end his life and have it all be over because, he felt like he was the last guy left. And God said, well, I've got a job for you. Go anoint your successor and go anoint the next king. And by the way, I have 5,000 or 7,000 faithful who are, they're apart from you, basically saying, I've got this, you're not the only one. And there are, moments like that in the Bible where I think we can be humbled and reminded that God has, he's got this, and he can move me to another role, and he's got someone ready. So I've really cared a lot about this and not wanted to, leave the church in a tough situation. But he's offered some good reassurances to me. A big verse too was Jeremiah 10:23, where the prophet says, a man's life is not his own. It's not for a man to direct his steps. Again, just a humbling reminder, my life belongs to God, and he's leading me. He leads each one of us and has a great plan for us beyond what we know and can understand.
Yeah, good. I'm going to conclude the questions with a question that I stole from Tim. This is the way he likes to conclude discussions. What else stood out to you in this chapter in your life?
Well, I got to end with one more scripture, because this wraps it up, I think, summarizes it. My sense of calling as a pastor and how that relates to the church and God's design and hope and vision for the church. It's from Ephesians 4, and I believe Travis is planning on preaching through Ephesians. It's also the first book I preached through here 10 years ago when I arrived. So Ephesians 4:11 and following. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I love that scripture because it puts everything in perspective that my job is to equip and enable and support. We're all connected to Christ, and through him we grow up, each part doing its work to make this mature body. And that's what I've seen happen over the years here. I've seen people grow and learn and mature and take on roles that they never could have imagined doing years ago. And so I guess I've seen God's promises come true, and I've seen myself replaced in some ways, where there's a lot of situations where I'm serving in an area because there's a need, not because I'm the best person for it. And more and more, I've seen people step up in areas where God has gifted them and uniquely prepared them to do things. So I think the church is in such a beautiful place right now and ready to take lots of new steps of growth.
Very good. Thank you, Tim.